I haven't read the emails yet today.
All right, let's call to order the Board of Supervisors, elected officials, department heads meeting. This is a meeting with our good Johnson County, and we're going to be talking today first with our work session with elected officials and department heads with our public health director, Doug Beardsley. Doug's going to talk to us a little bit about the Blue Zone's worksite pledge, including employee registration. So, Doug, this is it's all yours.
Okay.
You're going to make me move, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right.
Oops, I got to go before we begin.
Hey, Doug,
don't
we get clickers?
No, no clickers today. Sorry. This is I don't. You don't need to know anything about my department or what we do. This is totally related to something else. Probably a lot of you have heard about Blue Zones, the effort. It's been a couple of years coming. Iowa City has been now designated as a Blue Zones. They haven't received the certification yet, but they're working towards certification. Just a teeny bit of background on that. It's part of the Healthiest State Initiative, supported by the governor and locally by quite a number of businesses, et cetera. Throughout Iowa right now, there's 15 communities that have been signing up and working towards Blue Zone certification. I'll tell you a little bit more about what that is. Ours, or in Iowa City, we officially started at the beginning of this year. Blue Zones came out of a National Geographic study. Demographers, epidemiologists identified five areas in the world where people are more likely to live to the age of 100 and be healthy, not just kind of drag out to 100, but they were actually healthy until 100 and then, you know, drop down. And those are the areas. The term Blue Zones came from the team that was working on this project had a world map, and somebody said, well, let's put these areas on the map. Somebody just had a blue magic marker and circle them. That's where the name came from. There's nothing else magical about the name Blue Zones. And what they did was they identified characteristics in these communities that were similar throughout each of these communities. They discovered things that were natural. This is not really new stuff. We've kind of known this in health and health promotion. They talk about moving naturally. The people, as part of their daily living, they moved around. They were not sedentary. They had the right outlook. They had a purpose in life. They also knew how to relax a little bit. Their diets were primarily plant-based. They were not total vegetarians, but their approach to food was not to gorge themselves, but have a reasonable diet. And then belonging. And there was really a sense of community, either through social networks, religious networks, and family networks in these areas. Those are the things that were common that probably are leading to their longevity and health and healthiness. But in health, we understand that about 70% of what determines our health are things that are controllable. Half of it, 50%, is from our health behaviors, and another 20% comes from the environment. So that's everything from, you know, whether there's pollution, whether you have social structures, how our cities and roads, et cetera, are designed, and how we move about. So Blue Zones, then, is all about looking at a community and addressing those factors that could lend to better health. Things like policies, our built environment, whether or not we have parks, recreational opportunities, social networks within our communities, buildings. And by the way, I got some of these PowerPoint slides from somewhere else. I do not know how to make buildings drop out of the sky into a PowerPoint. I would really like to learn. But things, you know, going to our building designs. We talk about natural movement within buildings. And that is supposed to make us, you know, then have a better inner self or better connections. So what Iowa City is doing, in order to become certified, these are the criteria. We have to get individual citizens signing up, employers to sign up to be blue zone, to meet certain criteria to be certified in a work site, for a wellness work site, restaurants, groceries, schools, and then policy. So that brings us to, I'm on the Power 9 committee, and we were looking at the top employers in Iowa City, and they thought that it would be very important to have Johnson County government, even though it's a county government, the buildings are based here in Iowa City. They thought it would be very important to have Johnson County government as an employer, as one of the designated work sites to work towards Blue Zone certification. So I approached the Wellness Committee, and they endorsed it. The Board of Supervisors has approved working towards it. And there's the areas of various criteria, the checklist, if you will, of things that we need to do to become a certified Blue Zones work site. Some of those are in leadership, purpose, habitat, physical environment, et cetera. The things up there. Looking through the criteria, Johnson County government is actually pretty far along. We have a wellness committee. We've had one established for some time. Our benefits, our benefit package, and, health coverage, et cetera, are fairly comprehensive. We have lunch and learns, and we're really striving to have a wellness environment here. So looking at that, we thought we were pretty far along the way. The Wellness Committee thought there's some good ideas of what they could do to continue to promote to promote wellness amongst the employees. And so here we are. The efforts are going to be coordinated by the Wellness Committee, so you'll be seeing the normal things that are coming out from them. But a very important part of this is that it's promoted by leadership. So I want to focus now on what it is. So how do we become involved? One of the criteria is in the pledge is that a certain percentage of the employees go in and take the individual pledge. And that individual pledge is signing up, and off of a menu of things that you can do, you can select things that you want to do to improve your health, be it something along activity, social connections, diet, any number of things. The way to do that is go to the website, which is bluezonesproject.com. And we'll go there right now if this works. Actually, I'm already there. Now I'll have two windows open. No, I don't know. Dang, IT. Here we go. So now I'm at the actual website. So it's very easy when you get there. You don't have a login, so you can just click on Join Today and provide some very basic information, name and email, and then it's fairly self-directed. Or, if you would prefer, you can fill out one of these things. One way and one the other. You can fill that out, and we'll have an intern enter the information, and then they'll send you an email, and you can complete the thing by choosing a username and password and all of that stuff. Our goal is that we need to have 25% of employees enroll and accomplish one thing. It's not that hard. But what I'd really like to do is make sure all of our department heads, elected officials, sign up so we can show some leadership. The Wellness Committee will be coming out with a kind of a grand opening push on that. That's what I want to show you here. Just an example of some of the activities that go on here. Here we go. So So essentially, you know, once signed up, you can come in here and choose, you know, to move naturally. Get a bicycle, like I say, buy or adopt a dog, because people who have dogs have to get out and walk their dogs, and they get exercise. There's some selections under eating wisely. So you say, oh, okay, I can do that. So you click join. Then when you do it, you go back and you click, I did it. And you are counted towards us. When you sign up, you can connect that you are, you can connect up with your work site, Johnson County Government. And the code on that is JOCOIA. J-O-C-O-I-A. That'll be sent out in an email to everybody as the Wellness Committee rolls this out. But if you are really anxious about it, you can go in and do that. That's under, when you go in and do your profile, at the bottom, it'll have you connect with your work site. So J-O-C-O-I-A is our code there. So what do you do next? Complete your pledge, either on paper, and you can hand that back in to me, or you can go to the Blue Zones Project, sign up there, the worksite code, JOCOIA. You can volunteer. There is this Thursday at 5 p.m., so if you're not, you have a morning supervisors meeting, so supervisors could be there too. Iowa City Blue Zones Project is having its big kickoff. It'll be at the Sheraton at 5. You can get more information. Diana Kremzar in our department, who chairs the Wellness Committee, has more information. You can go to that. Actually, there is a contest that the employer with the most employees who go to that gets some sort of recognition or prize. So sign up, get the code there, go to the activity, go and sign in, and then you can leave. They're going to have a lot of booths there showing some of the different activities and plans for the community. Did I say booths?
Yes.
Okay, wine and
side.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, it's interesting. Out of those power nine things, you know, one of them is wine at 5, one glass of red wine. Everybody seems to latch on to that.
It could be like the glass on
it was tall and skinny. That was one of the things, tall and skinny, like John's.
Here's an aside. I volunteered for a research project up at the university, and something about alcohol use and science and blood. They're having a difficult time finding middle-aged males who have not consumed alcohol in the last 6 months.
Well, no,
we can't. So I was there. So I think I'm a sample of one they've had so far. The Wellness Committee is working on some plans to have some friendly competitions between departments to see which department gets the most people signed up and has something and gets their pledges accomplished. You know, if you're a small department with 4 or 5 people, you know, your chances of percentage-wise is pretty good. Anyway, that's coming up. I appreciate the Board of Supervisors, you know, agreeing to this and allowing us to go. It is, for certification purposes, it's just Iowa City, but it's being coordinated through the Chamber of Commerce. And everything we learn, of course, is being shared throughout the county and actually the corridor. Cedar Rapids is working on this, too. So that's what I've got. Just rah-rah. Get out and do it.
What is a vitality compass?
It's one of the tools on the website. It'll ask you some questions about health behaviors, environment, et cetera. And it'll give you hints then on your chronological age versus your real health age, and suggestions on things you could do to improve health. So it's like one of any number of assessments that you could find in different places. When you sign up, you can sign up to get daily emails on little challenges, different ideas of things you could do that day to improve health and wellness. Not always from a physical activity or nutrition aspect, but there's a lot of social the kind of introspective aspect too. what I have. Any other questions? Great. Thank you very much. I will turn it over. Short at this point, get it over with and move on to the real business.
All right. Any other questions? So it looks like what you've heard is that at minimum, the Board of Supervisors has given some direction of support for this project, which means as department heads, we would anticipate that you would adhere to that as well. And it's been asked of other elected officials to participate as well. So that's their choice. We'll move to item two, which is Human Resources Administrator Laura Schrammick, who's going to first discuss pay for hours worked. Tell us what that means.
Employees engaging in work activities must be paid. Did anybody catch the Gazette article on April 10th? I'll pass it around. It talked about a Linn County employee who was paid in excess of $31,000 for hours worked and not paid over a two-year period. It was an administrative assistant at the Public Health Department who was non-exempt, and there was a management misunderstanding. And the employee was working a couple of hours every day, plus some weekends and some evening meetings. Now, even before this story came out, I had this item on the agenda because it came up twice last month here. I went out on the Department of Labor website and pulled fact sheet number 22, very friendly, and talks about hours worked under the Fair Labor Standards Act. What constitutes compensable time under the FLSA? And remember, the Fair Labor Standards Act only applies to employees who are non-exempt, generally paid on an hourly basis. So it does not include your management, employees, professionals, etc. But I wanted to call your attention to suffered or permitted to work. You're going to love that title. Work not requested, but suffered or permitted to be performed is work that must be paid by the employer. For example, an employee who voluntarily comes to work early or stays at the end of their shift to finish up an assigned task or to correct errors. The reason is really immaterial, but those are compensable work hours. So if we knew or should have known that an employee was starting to work early or staying late, we have to pay them. Even if you didn't ask the employee to stay, a non-exempt employee may not volunteer. Often starting work early or staying late can put the employee in overtime. And overtime most often needs to have prior permission. Problems that arise are when employers fail to recognize and count certain hours as compensable hours. For example, an employee who remains at her desk while eating lunch and regularly answers the telephone and refers callers while is considered working, even though she's eating her lunch. And this time must be counted and paid as compensable work hours because the employee has not been completely relieved of duty. What do you do if you tell the employee and they still won't leave?
Call the ambulance.
Yeah. Some people say it will hurt employee morale. You need to counsel the employee informally. You know, and if they don't, then I guess you'd have to pursue progressive discipline, of course, starting on the lowest level of an oral warning. Hopefully would not get to that point, but we certainly don't want to take advantage of employees, and we don't want to be in a position where we're having to pay in excess of $31,000 for 2 years of back wages. So please just be mindful of that.
Laura, every one of our job descriptions is pretty clear as to whether or not it's exempt or non-exempt, right? So anybody who is worried about a certain position can check.
Yes.
And the counseling and then progressive discipline would be because they're not following the handbook. Because it's fairly, the breaks, the requirement for breaks and not doing work is there. So that would be probably the focus of that counseling.
Yeah, or if you gave him a directive not to start work until,
I used to know, but I can't remember. What time is too early? 10 minutes, 15, 20, before they can actually start collecting something?
Well, it kind of depends how you, it depends how you track your time. In different departments, it varies. Some of you have time clocks where it's counting, most of you, I think, have like quarter hours. Some have, I don't know if it's 6 minutes or all the different increments. But we do rounding.
Any other questions? So just double check your non-exempts. And make sure you're following the rules. Any other business?
I do have one other announcement.
Okay.
I want to announce that the non-bargaining pay plan 2014 appeals process will be starting. Employees may appeal their pay grade through a request for reevaluation from May 1st to May 23rd. And I'll be sending out an email after this department head meeting. The Job Evaluation Team, or JET, will hear all appeals and issue a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors by June 12th, and then those changes would be effective July 1. And a reminder that employees and or department heads may appeal the outcome of job evaluation. So it's not only employees, but if you as a department head feel the job is not valued appropriately, you may also complete the job evaluation.
Any other questions, issues? All right, we'll move to business under the Board of Supervisors. Item C1, goals for document management.
Those of you wondering, yes, I am awake. And I was listening. Anyway, I sent out an email. I hope you all received it. And I've already gotten some responses from some departments, which is great. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of run through if you guys had any questions regarding the questions or any thoughts about this, just from a first glance at it, because it looks like the state will go ahead and sign into law allowing the auditor to shred all of his voter registrations as long as they've been scanned and are stored electronically. So to me that's kind of a nice kickoff to go ahead with all other departments to see where we're at for scanning and storing things electronically, and also for identifying and helping other departments identify where their paper documents are if they didn't know how much they have, as well as identify the process which we're going to start with each department, and that is working with IT on designing, I call it mapping out how they want everything indexed, what kind of reports they want to pull, or you as department heads would want to pull, so that way as we start scanning and indexing, we don't have to try and go back through because, oh, shoot, we forgot we wanted to be able to pull this report. So Gene and I will be kind of going around so that way Each department will have a map. I'm not saying everybody will get done this year. But my goal is to hopefully have the maps created for each department this year, so that way each department head and each department knows how we're going to go through this, and they also have a little bit of time to, if we're not working with them directly, have a little bit of time to add anything else if they wanted to. So that way we can transition from file cabinets to just accessing our server, which means you guys will be able to access documents as long as you can access our network, our local network. You guys can access the documents from anywhere, so that way you don't have to try and take a giant file with you. So anyway, this is kind of what Gene and I have for the first questions. If you guys have any questions regarding the questions, please feel free to email me or Gene or ask them now, so that way other people can kind of get in on it, so we can alter this as needed. So any thoughts, any questions? Gene, did I miss anything? Okay. So I will be contacting departments who've already been in touch with me about working on a plan for that. There are specific departments, and then as I hear back from other departments, we'll start going through them as well. I figure the attorney's office, we're just kind of going to let you guys keep going as you guys are.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not going to spend the time to go measure linear
yes.
And we have to go to three different buildings
yeah.
to do it.
So. Yeah, no, I thought about saying I am going to exclude the attorney's office for asking for this because I think we could just do a GIS map of the shed
yeah.
and then multiply it by two because there are two levels. So, anyway. Yes, or four levels.
I'm going to wash the
wet. I should have let it flood a little longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, always looking at reducing our footprint as well as increasing our storage capacity for non-paper items as that will hopefully extend the life of other usable equipment as well as help get a larger bid because the equipment's been stored inside versus stored outside. So looking at seats, secondary roads, as well as when we add in fleet for potentially keeping items in the space so that way they'll be usable longer. So trying to maximize every little thing I can with our paper storage and sheds that we already have built.
All right, any questions? We'll move to calendar and vacation schedule.
The board wanted a reminder to the department heads about letting me or the board know when you're gone out of the office for a day or more. Just so we have, Angie keeps track of that on the calendar, so if somebody's trying to get a hold of you, I don't put on the reason. Just so that we know. And so I think they're in the work session, the board, some do, some don't. And so this is just kind of a reminder that for the department heads, that's an expectation. Not bad.
Yeah, for the most part, it seems like everyone's pretty good at that. So it's just kind of more, it's not like we're trying to look over your shoulder every second or anything like that. Maybe we are, but it's mostly, if someone communicates with us, contacts us, for whatever reason, we just kind of at least know what's going on. So.
On that, Andy, like Mike from my admin staff, they have access to my Outlook calendar, so they can see that. Is there a way we can give Angela or somebody, or you, access to our Outlook calendars on the network, and that way you've got it?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't that right, Jimmy?
Well,
so we would have to give them permission.
Because if the folks just send an email to the board and copy Angie, the board's in it, you know, it doesn't really apply. But when we're liaisons to someone, we kind of like to know when they're not in the office, and that way the whole board's notified at once. But all Angie does is put it on the board's Outlook calendar, and there'll be a whole string of names. It doesn't say where you are. It just it'll say Terrence, Janelle, Doug, Dana. And so we know those people are out of the office today, and so you can check there if we're needing to get a hold of them. for whatever reason, we already know it. So, you know, that if we had your Outlook calendars, it'd just be way too many steps. Because you can just glance and say, oh, now I know why Greg didn't return my phone call. He's gone all week, you know. I don't really care exactly where you are.
Can I say something that real quick? We do not use Outlook anywhere near its capabilities or calendars, and it drives me nuts. I've been teaching my office, and they're blown away about being able to see the out-of-office stuff, where you're at in meetings, all that. And maybe it's something Gene can do meeting-wise to get us, you know, to set up an Outlook. I mean, I had staff members go, really, I can go out and look at your calendar right now at my desk and know exactly where you are. And I think we're missing out on some of those capabilities. And, you know, I'm hopeful maybe we can move towards that direction, but I have my staff now setting up their out-of-offices and being able to connect to me when they're out of the office, showing the exact times they are, and I just think we're missing out on some of that stuff that Outlook offers. So, and it's just my opinion, but
Gene, maybe a little something to put down in the future, maybe a little coursework for us, what the capabilities are. People are interested in that.
And I'm happy to help Gene with this. I mean, Dana just looked at me and said, can you show my staff?
Yeah
absolutely. I know. Not throwing you under the bus, Dana, but it's great, you know, even setting your out of office between different time frames. I mean, even a fun yesterday, I was at a funeral. I set my out of office to run between two time frames, and everybody knew where I was during that and how to get a hold of me on my cell phone. And I just think we're missing a lot of the capabilities for the software we're paying quite a bit for. So,
and I would volunteer, Becky or any of my admin staff, if anybody wants to have somebody trained up, because they're pretty good at that too. They keep telling me I gotta have it on the calendar.
No, I love being able. I mean, Chris Edwards this week is out, and the minute you type in his email address, it pops up, he's out of the office, who to contact, when he, you know, he's not checking his email, who, you know, just, there's so much information, I think, you know, we're missing out on county-wise that we can share with other staff members and the public.
All right. So that's something to brainstorm a little bit about. Okay. Item 3 is elected officials and department heads presentation schedule, and as you notice, this time around we didn't have a specific questionnaire and that kind of thing, and that's because we are now starting a new year and an opportunity to get some more registered to sign up to promote your organization / department and teach us something. So that's going around?
Yep. We only signed up through the end of 13, so. And when we were looking for the agenda, who's next?
Is it out of line to even ask? I mean, do folks, I get the sense that folks enjoy it, but do you enjoy that? I mean, do you feel like it's a good use of your time or you know?
It helps with attendance. Bill didn't show up because it wasn't on there. So I figure, where's Brad going?
You know, sometimes I think we get feedback that department head meetings get too long or whatever. And so I ask the question. I don't prejudge. I see Mike signing up, so I know at least one person wants to do it.
I like voting, so that's
good. Well, you know, I personally have learned stuff about everyone who's made a presentation. You know, I think the people who design it can do it in such a way that we learn something, and I think I like it that everyone around this table knows something about the other offices, because we are the kind of ambassadors of the county. I think, you know, we don't have to continue it beyond everyone presenting unless new stuff's coming up, but we haven't made it through everyone.
Right. Might be a neat thing to add to the webpage.
Yeah. Can you figure that out, Gene?
Just everyone's presentations of like take the department quiz.
Take a quiz about my department.
I wouldn't mind actually looking at some of the old ones. Not that I ever missed one, but once in a while. I don't think I was it Tom? I don't think I got any right, did I? Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's move to item 4, the NAMI walk of Johnson County. And
is this, you want to display this?
I was going to say, Hannah, do you want this one?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about it.
It doesn't have your name on it.
No. This is a t-shirt that I think Pat sent an email out about. It's not like specifically for the NAMI walk, it's just a Johnson County t-shirt in general. You can wear it to a lot of different events. Sorry, yeah. And you can opt to just have the front, or you can have the front and the back personalized. Angela Laffey put this together, so I think she's the contact person for this, but it's an option. You guys can check out the quality if you want. Yeah, it's kind of awesome. And then I have some t-shirt order forms here with me if you guys want one. I'll send them around. I don't know if I have enough for everybody, but I think it was attached on the email. So the NAMI walk is Saturday, April 26th. Check-in's at 9, the walk starts at 10. I am the captain of kind of like the general. J.C. Walker is our name. I think the attorney's office also has a team. I don't know if there's others from the county. But currently we have 17 members, and we're about a little over 50% of our fundraising goal has been reached. Our goal is $1,000. If anybody, like if any department heads or anybody in your department wants to join, there's still time. I think I had 3 new members join today, so it's definitely not too late. And if anybody does want to do that, or just to donate, the webpage or our team URL is namiwalks.nami.org/JCWalkers. And that's been in a couple of emails sent out too.
You can sign up under the JCA012.
Yeah, you can sign up.
You can give us one.
Either one. It all goes to the same cost. But,
I have a pledge sheet right here, Bonnie.
Angela, can you order for family members? We discussed this morning.
Shirts?
Yes.
Yeah, I ordered for Robin, but she didn't want board spouse on the back. although I thought that was kind of funny. Angie did the back. That's her year she started at Johnson County. She thought that'd be funny because she did the team thing. But then you can order an option that's just the front, like if you wanted to wear a county fair or something.
Well, Abby didn't want auditor's wife, so I guess we're on the same page.
Yeah, Robin's like, I don't want board spouse. That's really weird.
Well, that's because you spelled it B-O-R-P-D.
See, as a true-fledged bohemian, it took me just a little bit to... Oh, yeah, okay, now I get it. So as you probably, this is kind of a neat thing because it is the Board of Supervisors are the team, kind of like the honorary chair people this year for the event. The number 10, which just happens to be the year that also this event has been really kicking off. So it just would be nice to have good county representation. We take a picture every year at the event. It's at Willow Creek Park. No, I mean, it used to be, that's the other block. It's over at Terry Trueblood. And so the Terry Trueblood, it's one of those deals where you're going to walk around the lake twice. Okay? So it's not like it's a huge amount of strenuous work here. And does everyone know what NAMI, National Alliance Mental Illness? And this is an organization that Johnson County has supported through our mental health and disability services. We've supported it because we also are an investor of the 1105 project, which houses their offices. So it just seems like it's a little extra this year because we're part of that more than ever, I think, even though we've had good county representation. Both Lonnie and Janet have been chairs in the past. So... This should be a fun day over at Terry Trueblood. Any other shoes? We have a little sign-up sheet also over at the board office. and you can get your name on there. That'd be great. Any other business under the Board of Supervisors at this point?
I actually did have something, Terrence. As part of the strategic plan, one of the issues that all of you and the board identified as an issue that we're going to work on is employee morale. And I just wanted to mention that we've got a survey that's going to be going out. I think Gary Yoder already put it up on the intranet, but we want to do an email that goes out to each employee so that they can just, you know, if they want to say everything's fine, they can say everything's fine. If they got a specific complaint, they can make that complaint. It's completely anonymous. Gary will not know who sent what. But we'd like to get as much feedback as we possibly can. So that'll be going out really soon. If you could encourage your employees to take the time, it's only like four or five questions, a couple of them are open-ended, and just take the time to fill it out so that we can, if there's something we can do better at, we'd like to do better. So please encourage folks to do that.
I have on the strategic plan theme, I have responsibility for the section on safety and security by buildings. And so there's like a ad hoc small group that's been meeting. Our first plan is to do a survey also of employees. So we're going to kind of separate that from Rod's survey by a few weeks, gaining their feedback and their ideas and any suggestions they may have that they feel would make their workplace more safe and secure. And then the ad hoc committee, which is Steve at the sheriff's office, myself, Eldon, Dana at HR, Mike at Medical Examiner, Dave Wilson at EMA, and Sherry at Facilities. That ad hoc committee then will meet building by building with department heads and elected officials kind of in that building, and we may combine these two buildings, talking about their thoughts and needs. We will be compiling a list and then basically creating what might be a multi-year plan for safety and security and capital investments. And that plan then would be put to the board every year during budget time. That will also then result in a plan by building. So there's a lot of elements to this part of the strategic plan, but that part of it will involve an employee survey so that when we meet with department heads and elected officials, we'll have had some input already. Obviously, the sheriff's office and the courthouse has its own plan, and so those will be farther, not at the top of the list, although those may get revisited with everyone as we go along and we're learning by other departments. So that's one of my strategic objectives, so you should be seeing that come out a few weeks after this one, just for feedback, and then we'll start having meetings by building. Any questions about that? Okay, thanks. If you'd urge people to feel free to fill out that survey when it comes out, that'd be great.
The board, we'll talk about strategic planning. Okay, I'll add one, and that is I'll be a part of strategic initiative to really calculate and put together a rural outreach document. I'll be working with Mickey quite a bit. But as you start to think about the services that we provide for residents, there's kind of another element that has to do with reaching out beyond just the cities and not only what we're doing, but also ways to promote that. And in the past, we've had different outreach measures, like Secondary Roads used to have a newspaper that it put together. The county used to have the community news advertiser. So there's an opportunity to strategically think about how to reach out to our rural unincorporated residents. And so several of you may be getting an email saying, what are you doing? Clearly what Secondary Roads does, Planning and Zoning already has kind of a booklet of rural initiatives already put together, and so several of you may get contacted about that just to assist. It'd be nice to potentially have something ready for the county fair, maybe a little newsletter or something of that nature as we start to think about this. So,
Okay.
All right. Sound good? Let's move on to committee business, and first is under item D1, Earth Week.
John, where are you coming from?
You want to do Earth Week?
I can. I'm going to have to pull up the email of when
this is going.
Okay, let's, while he's working on that, Janelle's going to get into County Government Month. We have a theme.
I am the board's rep on the Triple E committee, which used to be called Communications. It's Triple E, or AKA the Fund Committee. So we are taking on a County Government Month this year. The theme is Ready and Resilient Counties, Prepare, Respond, Thrive. Because this idea came from Linda Langston in Linn County, we just thought we should do something about it other than just a poster. We had been requested by various employees who have never actually toured any of our buildings other than the one they were in to arrange some tours. The only one we were able to arrange was Jack Emergency Management. So on April 28th, from 11:30 to 1, we're not going to send a press release about it, but if someone else ended up there, like your spouse, that's fine. But that is staff tours of Jack and Emergency Management, and just in order to kind of control the crowd, that will not be released to the public. So we would urge you to let your staff go out to Jack if they so desire and get a tour of Jack and Emergency Management. It became apparent to us that a lot of people have never been in that building, and people actually work for the county. So that's part of it. And then that evening from 5 to 7 will be public tours, and that is being advertised and released. Everyone from the public's welcome at Jack and Emergency Management to come see the facilities and see how it fits in to be in a ready and resilient county. The next day, April 29th, with a severe weather, because this is ready and resilient, of the 30th, is a ready and resilient educational fair on the Armory parking lot on these lanes closest to the building, so we're going to have to get that blocked out. Here are the departments that are planning to participate, but everybody is welcome, and I have a note here that I'm supposed to ask for more departments. Emergency management is bringing 5 vehicles, Dave?
Yeah.
5 pieces of equipment and vehicles. Ambulance will be providing tents, I don't know how many, but enough that other people might grab one. Vehicle and handouts. Public health will have handouts, hand sanitizers, and display board. Conservation is bringing, I have down here, mobile generator and fire equipment if you're not otherwise using it. Seats plans to bring a vehicle down so people can play on the bus and see how that works. Veterans Affairs plans to have an informational table and outreach. I have been asked to if medical examiner has actually been requested to be here. If I thought
just
it was a little gross, but everybody thinks knowing that your equipment and vehicles may be in use, this is kind of if you're not, can you come? Question. Planning and zoning has been requested about soil and water conservation and whether or not Kate could set up something about that or somebody in her stead. And secondary roads, everybody likes to see big equipment. And so knowing that big equipment's being used, can we have some big equipment that people can come and take a look at, like the fair? Everyone else is very welcome. Kind of how we're doing this is low-key. You're on your own to bring out a table. I mean, facilities can help to a certain degree, but if you can bring out your own table, make sure if you want a tent and chairs, but to give your, any display boards, any handouts, any giveaways, anything about your office that, and don't think about this as only a disaster. It's how you're ready, period. So as far as promotions, Terrence and I are doing KXIC next week. As we speak, emergency management is setting up two Facebook events, one for the tour and one for the fair. So we decided to use their Facebook page and then have everyone else who uses Facebook link to it or cross-post to invite, you know, millions of people. There's been a poster in administration, and I just handed you out a poster to put in your office. We can also email those if you would like to print more. What we would urge you to do is anything you can do about letters to the editor, press releases, editorials, anything about your office and how you are prepared and there for citizens, this is a great month to get that out. And so we've never really celebrated County Government Month kind of in this way, and so this is kind of a trial basis. The theme just kind of hit that we thought that would be worthwhile. Questions, comments, ideas?
One thing on this, we put the, so that way people can hand them out, put the address of each one on here.
Good idea. Yeah, this was made more for in-house.
Right.
So we'll get that changed for a better poster.
Because I'm sure somebody reading this could mistake, go to the Jack South parking lot, and, you know, that's a field.
Who's doing the initial Facebook posting?
Emergency management.
Okay, you guys are.
We thought it fit the theme. You were volunteered, Doug, but then we moved to them.
Well, I just want to be sure we get the
So he should have it done later this afternoon, and then we will make sure that everybody, and then Mickey's coordinating more press and media and whatnot. So, any ideas, questions? Anyone want to get volunteered? Dana, I'm sure there's something you could do.
Bring a bunch of money.
Give them away. Talk about the reserve fund.
Hey, bring one of
the
big
ones.
In the event of rain or severe, we will try again on the 30th, and if that fails, it just wasn't our year because we were ready and resilient.
Rick is going to do something having to do with GIS also.
Oh, perfect. Sorry, it wasn't on the list. So GIS. I'm just reading what Susie told me to say because she's too shy to come do it herself.
Dana's department could hand out green slushies.
Let's think about a three-card Monty table.
So, I mean, even if you don't want your own table, but you have something you want handed out or somebody could stop by for part of it, you can jump in someone else's table and add your stuff to it. I mean, feel free. All right, that's all I have.
All right, we'll go back to Earth Week, which is also coming up.
Yes, it is. Excuse me. All right, so Earth Week is the week of April 21st through the 25th. And on Monday, April 21st, we have a new Green Ideas survey for our four employees. Emails will be sent out, and a wellness will kick off their walking club. That sounds odd, but walking club. Anyway, also my computer went black. Tuesday, April 22nd, Liz Maz will talks about biodiversity. And talks about biodiversity and land trust at 11:05 to 11:50 a.m. in this room right here. This event is open to the public. On Wednesday, April 23rd at 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., pharmaceuticals will be handed. No, I'm kidding. Pharmaceuticals and Sharps pickup for recycling in partnership with the City of Iowa City, which will provide this setup. Setup and law enforcement. The location will be here, actually across the street, the admin building parking lot. They're working physical plant on that. All right. Oh, people are required for that to deposit the items themselves. They can't just leave the items sitting at the booth for the person working it to just put it in. They have to drop it in the container themselves. And this event will also be open to the public. Where's my other email that tells which day we're doing the biking breakfast?
Oh, that's in May, Bike to Work Week.
Bike to Work, okay. I wanted to throw a plug in for that because
it's
12. Yeah, I think it is the 12th.
It's the 12th, 13th at 7 a.m.
All right, and I guess to me that plays in with Earth Week, with biking to work, using your legs to get you here versus your lead foot. Anyway, but that's going to be the 12th, and we're having the same person work.
13th. So it's 13th. Tuesday, May 13th from 7 to 9 a.m., free breakfast for bike commuters or bikers out at the shelter house.
Pedal bikers, that is. Anyway, we're having the same person cater it who did last year, so if anybody remembers last year's, it was phenomenal. We had the cinnamon rolls and the... Doug, I figured you'd be all over this. Public
I'm
health.
Trying to remember what we had.
So, anyway, it's going to be a really good event, too. So, just summer or spring is here, even though we've missed a little bit of it. Summer is right around the corner, so get outside, enjoy the weather, and stay out of the rain. Otherwise, this could be your outfit.
So. Otherwise, you have to look like the Unabomber, too.
Yeah. So, you know, this isn't a televised event, so I figured I'd be all right, but, you know, that description is just fine.
The sheriff's sitting over there trying to figure out if you got to work for your dress.
Lottie's got backups outside because of the way you're dressed.
Yeah, I will have you all know this is water. This is not... yes. Anything other?
All right, that's all. Thanks. Under committee business, any other committees want to chime in? Wellness, what else do we have? Security, safety. Is that all?
Everybody got it.
Okay. All right. Let's move then.
Oh, wait, we do have.
Okay.
I'm not on safety committee, who actually is, John. But part of the strategic plan was to offer more safety trainings and get more people certified. And the board is doing, what's the date?
It's in June. It's in June.
It's May. Okay, well, the board is going to do the 3-hour ALICE training. And so, and then we're...
22nd of May.
The 22nd of May.
1:30, 4:30.
So the idea is we needed to pick the date for the board to be able to do it, and then everyone else is invited to join us. And so what we would like is Dana Stafford and I have been meeting, because this part of the strategic plan is more safety than safety and security, but it's a dual thing, is to get a schedule of these trainings for the rest of the year. We have about 12 of you or so who went through the train the trainer, Alice. So you've been there for the 2-day thing. Public health has done a training.
We had Jory come out for our all staff meeting, did the Alice training. Very, very good.
Okay. And social services had a training. So what we're attempting to do is to get as many department heads and elected officials for sure trained as possible in the 2 to 3 hour session. And then for you to for sure pick people who are frontline people who may be in the line of trouble and urge them to do this training. So the first of these new offerings is gonna be May 22nd. We'll send something out, but it's at 1:30 and I'm assuming it's in this room. This is the 2 to 3 hours that we have been urged to consider a real training that involves a fake gun. The board hasn't committed to that yet until we go through the 2 to 3 hour. We're a little, it's Lonnie's office. I don't know how many trainers you have, Lonnie. Is it 3?
2, I think, but it might be 3.
Okay. They would like us to do that, so that you had what is basically a real simulation. But we haven't decided how that would work with the public around. And so we get why it's probably something we should experience, but we're not clear how to do it yet. So we're going to start with this smaller in-room training and then kind of discuss that for later
about a real simulation, which I can't remember.
Don't you just document outside the door that training going on inside? And I mean,
tell the jack.
That's what I thought, but anyway, we need your play on this, how we would do it. And
the airsoft guns might hurt a little bit. That's a good shot.
Yes.
I think you do the real deal, or otherwise.
So we do the 2 to 3 hour, and then we schedule a simulation at some point in admin or wherever, and we just put signs outside the door that we're doing this, and if you come for your marriage license, you're going to be part of it.
Don't call in.
Take a second to it.
Are you willing to take a bullet for that?
So May 22nd at 1:30, we'll be sending something out that people can register, but we really would like you all to be trained and for you to pick out people that you think could be in a position that, and that hopefully this will just spread and eventually we'll have a lot more people comfortable, and other trainings will be coming after that. That's it.
Okay, any other committee discussion? We'll move under general business. Item E1, reports and updates from elected officials and department heads. Larry, do you want to start? You're on this end.
In conservation, we're getting on our really busy time of the year. You probably heard the headline news today from KCRG. The DNR burnt down, was it a farm, and 3 or 4 buildings up in Benton County, around Benton. They were burning last week, and we were burning too, but we stood down.
Is that before or after the no-burn order?
That was dirty.
Burnman was Johnson County. Yeah. I don't remember any other
counties. I thought it was statewide.
Yeah, sir. There was a red flag warning statewide.
Yeah, it's done by county, and that's done by the fire departments taking a poll, and the majority wins, and the request goes to the state fire marshal's office, and they issue the order. So the fire mutual aid association is meeting tonight at Steve's place, and they'll discuss that tonight. I'll be there tonight as well. Dave, are you going tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But we stand down. We stand down during all those warnings, so we didn't burn. But so at any rate, we just finished. We had about 300 acres of area to burn. We ended up getting 100 acres burned this year, and now the burn season's over with. It's too late to continue. Our camping areas, Hills Access and River Junction are both open. Kemp Park opens April 25th, the campground out there. And then we're in the middle of developing a strategic plan right now. We plan to have that finished in November or December, but it's a pretty comprehensive strategic plan to guide the department for the next 10 or 15 years. The Heritage Foundation just closed on a 172-acre land acquisition for us just on the west side of the Sutliff Bridge in the area south of that. So it connects the Sutliff Bridge to our existing Cedar River crossing area. So the Heritage Foundation owns it right now, but we'll be writing more grants over the next 3 to 4 months to help cost share and buy down the purchase price. Then we're negotiating right now on another 145 acres in the eastern part of the county. And then on the 23rd, we're having a public open house at the Iowa City Library. You've probably heard about all these development projects we're proposing for Kemp Park. We're going to have concept plans finished and ready for public input on the 23rd at the library in Iowa City.
What time is it?
I think it's either 5 to 7 or 5:30 to 7:30, and we'll be putting out a lot of press on it starting tomorrow.
Okay. And how many acres did I wasn't writing quick enough. You got controlled burns and...
We ended up burning like 110 acres, and we had over 300 acres scheduled to be burned.
That's too bad.
Yeah, the season was really strange this year. It's
change it?
No. That must just be when you're going. I know it doesn't start at 5:45.
Larry, I have it down at 5:30.
It's 5:30 to Saturday.
Okay.
Okay.
That was original time.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Janet.
Yes, we are going to change. It's like an earthquake of change in the court system that has gradually made its way from the west part of Iowa. Now it's coming to Johnson County on June 17th, which is the electronic data management system, which means all documents filed with the court are going to be filed electronically. So everything that we file, everything that we get from the court is all going to be electronically instead of on paper. It's going to be a dramatic change because right now everything is done by paper, and so having to make that transition is terrifying and exciting. So we've been spending some time working on that. We're fortunate that our new clerk of court, who started a little less than a year ago in Johnson County, was in Marshall County when they started that, and so she's going to hopefully be extremely helpful in making that transition. We were thinking about trying to go completely paperless in my office at the same time. I'm not sure we can do that completely with exhibits and other things, but we're going to probably drastically reduce the amount of paper we're using. But it's going to be a whole new ballpark in terms of how we do things. And so we're in the midst of we've been working for a while, but trying to kind of figure out the specifics of how we'll do it on our office. And we start training more with the court system in May. They started in Linn County a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't seen flames coming from the north, so they must be surviving. But it's going to be a major change, and so please bear with us as we try to make this transition. June 17th is when it starts for criminal, I should say, and mental, civil, juvenile, mental, civil is all like in July 12th or somewhere around there. So we'd be doing criminal and then getting to the other parts of the office. But it's going to be a huge change in our office, so we'll see how that goes. So we've been having meetings with law enforcement and other things because now every complaint and everything that we have been getting as a paper document is all going to be electronic, and figuring out how we're going to deal with that influx of electronic information is going to be interesting. So anyhow, that's our big thing. So, and the other thing is, for about the first time in a year, other than about 6 weeks in the last year, we were full staff. We went through 3 new babies in the last year with attorneys, 2 extended FMLA leaves, and an employee leaving, and some overlap and some not. It was a miserable year, so we're really glad we're full staff.
We have been drug into the electronic data management with the county attorney's office for obvious reasons, so we're working on that as well. We recently hosted a training for Force on Force for law enforcement agencies. Obviously, we've been involved in some ALICE training for schools. The Citizens Police Academy last week graduated. That's a joint project where all the local law enforcement agencies sponsor that and work on that together, and I would encourage you, if you Terrence, I know, has been through it. I don't know if anybody else in this room has been through it or not, but if you ever want to learn more about what the different law enforcement agencies really do, they try to make this very real and practical. You, for example, watching the slideshow, they tried on the bomb outfits, they did some munition, they do hands-on defense tactics, so you really do learn about law enforcement if you're ever interested. That usually starts up around January every year. It's 11 weeks, so one night a week.
Lonnie did point out, kind of in his backup here, just in case. Just wanted to make sure everyone knew that.
We're all going to die.
Right. Yeah,
we're all gonna die.
I don't know how that's ready and resilient.
But with it becoming spring, ideally it would help if the weather would cooperate, but we're going into our other training modes, firearms training, our bow training, rifle training, and this past Friday we had 2 deputies graduate from the 14-week Iowa Law Enforcement Academy Stearns. And we are not fully up to staff, so we're working on that.
Okay, and one other thing too, because I want to say that here. On April 25th, a week from this Friday, we're going to have a Sealing Your Juvenile Records Day, which is the first time we've done this in Johnson County. You might have seen something about it. Lynette's been working on it a lot, as well as our office. And there's a provision in the Iowa Code where juveniles can have their juvenile records sealed once they turn 18 and for certain things. And they haven't had other kinds of
crimes committed, et cetera. And so it's in the code now, but not many people take advantage of it. So we are encouraging people to call and get signed up so we can do all the records checks and stuff before that day and actually have them get their records sealed. We have the judges on board, so they will be there ready to have hearings and things if we can get everything. So if you know anybody who's interested, you can refer them either to my office or Lynette's office, and she sent out a lot of information about it too. So there's phone numbers on flyers and things like that to call, but my office or Lynette's would work. So if you know of anybody in that, so if somebody who's 18 to 25 who's never done this, never gotten their record sealed, could certainly take advantage of it.
Lynette's in Des Moines for some training or something, but there's been a web page created for this, but you can get to it through Social Services web page. And that you can fill out the form to sign up.
Yeah, I think you can through
3 years also?
Yeah, through the attorney's office.
And the reason to sign up is so that the files can be, that they can't guarantee on the day that they'll be able to grab them. So.
Right. If people, if we have people show up, we've worked with the clerk's office and we'll do our best to try to go out and get those files and do all the things we have to by notifying law enforcement, running a criminal history check, so we have people lined up to do it that day if needed. But if people could sign up in advance, we can guarantee it. If we can't get all of the records that day, we'll probably set in a hearing a couple weeks down the road. But we'll accommodate anybody who comes in and trying to do something with them. So, sorry, I forgot to mention. Did I catch you up?
No, I was done.
Okay.
On to me. In the recorder's office, we're working, as a lot of your affiliates are, with the General Assembly and how things are ramping up there. I saw an article in the Register. They said the pages have begun to unpack their boxes, which they stack up every year underneath the gallery in the Senate. So it sounds as if they're getting close. We've got a couple things we're trying to get included in the standing bill. I'm hopeful we'll be able to do that. I've got a meeting on May 12th with the University of Iowa's Special Collections Librarians Preservationist to talk about some books I have now in my office from the county poor farm that we're looking to try to stabilize and find the best way to take care of those very interesting and intriguing old documents. So they'll be helping me and us out with that. I'm working with the board office on that too, keeping everybody posted. The housing market took a big hit this winter. As you might expect, people lost all their interest and mojo for buying and selling property, and we're looking to see that recover here very soon. I was at the Iowa Mortgage Bankers Conference out in Coralville, and I asked every single closer I saw if we were going to have a better 3 months coming up, and they all say that we are. So everyone locally is looking forward to that because it really has made a difference. You've seen the revenues kind of just go down, and March was particularly awful. We've remained very busy in terms of, it was obviously an ugly winter, so our winter recreational vehicle traffic was very high, and Vital Records has kept us busy. In fact, on the 22nd, we will be rolling out a new Vital Records statewide system, starting with death registrations. That's kept us very busy as we're helping them test that. Johnson County is a pilot county for that. So that's kept us extremely busy, and we're hoping that it goes really well. We keep finding things they need to fix, and it's next Monday, so we'll just see what happens. I think we had six or eight. Yeah. And Lansing's was the pilot funeral director, funeral home here, so they paired us for training and so forth.
I see Mickey's in the room. That seems like something we should get media attention on. It's interesting.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Absolutely. I'm just, in terms of my own IT planning, I'm taking a look at some offers I have through our real estate vendor for some cloud storage in terms of some additional contingency planning and some off-site service options, but that wouldn't be anything I'd do anything with without talking carefully with our IT department and getting a look at how we want to proceed. I'm also looking at a property check fraud alert system in our real estate system. It would just allow people in Johnson County to go to a place on our website, click a logo, and sign up to get an email or cell phone alert whenever any transactions are processed under their name in Johnson County. It's a essentially it's a no-cost thing for us, so it's pretty much a no-brainer. We'll probably be moving ahead with that fairly soon as well. We've just finished a project where we fully indexed some we are finishing a project to fully index military discharge records. So we will be able to see them and process them for people and not have to use some very ancient card file systems that we still had in the office. So, John, we continue to move to get rid of paper. And I guess that's it. That was quite a bit. Thanks.
All right. Eldon, go around the horn.
Go around the horn. They started the spring cleaning up with the lots, getting the sand and stuff out of some around here. We're working on, I got site work for the dairy barn. We're going to start work on that building. Camera installed. We've got the pipes all done at the out here in the ramp, and they're going to start pulling wire probably next week. I know they're going to work on the courthouse first, because they just have to change the recorder in there and add one camera, so that will be on their list first. The old building out at Secondary Roads is down. I don't know if anybody is watching it on camera, but there is a camera out there up and running. We moved the old building, about 2 weeks ago, maybe three, and they have a video of it on shared drive, so you can see it. It goes really fast on the video compared to the way it was. The other part of the building, everything's down. They've already started excavation, so they're going to be putting in the sewer and water, moving it around, and starting to move dirt from the south end of where the building will be to the north end that has to be filled in. So that's pretty much what's going on. And you can watch it, like I said, all on whatever you want.
Okay, any questions?
Yeah, the courthouse, jail houses.
Courthouse, jail, oh.
The house is across from the jail.
That's right. They started the abatement yesterday. And when they get those completely done, Ottawa City Fire Department's going to play some games on the road, cut holes and stuff like that. And after that, then Knowles Tree Service will be taking them down.
And I know that you're aware of that. We had some departments talk to us about the shingles around the building at the administration building, and it sounded like that was just some spring work being done.
All they did is clean the gutters, and that's what came out of the gutters.
Okay.
I mean, yes, we are losing them. We always do, because it's late and it doesn't take much to break them, but they went around and cleaned the gutters out, threw them down, and then they got sidetracked.
Okay. So that's what those were. It wasn't just a bad windstorm, and no one was around at the time those were being taken.
It wasn't down. Like the windstorm the other day that went over my house. I got a siren for after it went past.
Hello.
He's here all day, Mr. Anyway.
Should have been worried about the storm there.
Yeah. Well, whatever it was, I was looking out the back door and didn't even see it.
All right, Ed, you're up next.
I always seem to get this meeting, but construction's about to start, so we'll be popular. We welcome, actually, our last staff member. We're up now to our pre-recession levels. And he actually showed up again today, so that's a pretty good sign.
Was it two in a row?
That's 2 days in a row. We're doing all right. The specific construction you might want to watch out for, Sharon Center Bridge over Old Man's Creek, that's going to be starting up here pretty soon. We're not exactly sure. 520th Street, east of Hills, going out to where we've already completed everything. That'll be starting probably in May is what we're hearing. Mahaffey Road, that actually was let this morning, and so far the apparent bids look good, so I think Thursday we'll be down recommending award for that.
Andy, do we know that?
You probably just getting it, because I just got it before I came.
Okay, yeah. We haven't seen it yet, so get it out.
I have one question. Mahaffey Bridge Road,
yep.
The bridge, did you guys get the automated speed signs up yet?
No, we're still waiting on them to come in. We've ordered them, and they're just not here yet.
So we can drive fast on the bridge?
I would not recommend that.
So we are spending a lot of time.
Yeah, I went by. Kevin was sitting out there one day.
Yeah, and but I mean, everybody keeps saying the signs would really help a lot. So I'm just curious.
We've been calling them, and they're.
Yeah, I thought they were supposed to be here and up 2 weeks ago.
They were, and unfortunately, there's two people that make that sign. There's the guys that make like the little trailer types that you guys have, and there's the ones that make the actual signs.
What company is it?
Do you know? I think it's Tapco.
Have Lonnie call him. He has a gun.
I like that idea. Never argue with that guy.
Yeah, Lonnie, if you can't call, I can as your backup.
Let me toss you a bullet, too.
Yeah. Not a gun, just a bullet. Put one right here in the pocket.
Yep. with Mahaffey Bridge, as you noted, it is under construction. We did lower the speed limit 25 through there, and they are writing tickets. And the word is getting around. People are definitely listening, so we appreciate that help. We're going to have a public information meeting regarding that project and the Mahaffey Road project up there in North Liberty, May 13th from 5:30 to 6:30 at the South Slope Community Center. That will just be an open house style. We're going to have some exhibits up there about what we're doing about the bridge, and if you just have some interest in large concrete structures, come by and ask questions. So that's all I got.
And ride your bike. It's bike to work week for everyone, so they'll have to ride their bikes out to that meeting.
You can take the trail all the way up there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. It's actually kind of not bad.
From
idea.
My house. I don't
think
so. You're right on that damn road.
Yeah, you have to survive to get there.
Yes.
Hey, 520th, when are we starting?
That's probably going to start in May.
Okay.
That's what we're hearing. We haven't, the pre-con is next week, and then we'll know a lot more.
Okay.
Is that
all
the way from Hills to the...
Utah.
Utah, correct.
Okay. And the reason I was asking is, both Steve and Lonnie, that Mahaffey Bridge and 520th will be open,
yes,
in theory. Mahaffey Bridge can close with prior permission and kind of prior notification, but it's going to be one lane traffic through both those roads, so for most of the summer.
Controlled how?
Stoplights
or flaggers?
One is pilot flaggers cars pilot, and the other one's flaggers, right?
Both of the road projects are flaggers and pilot cars, so expect delays. It'll take you a while. If you're driving the ambulance or squad car, you can go right on through. They'll get out of your way.
But
at night, how's it controlled by a light?
It's open.
But, I mean, 520th can't be open to, sure, like that. So before they go home, they'll open the other lane?
Yes.
Okay. And then Sharon Center Bridge, it's closed.
That's closed.
I mean, it will be down. So you will not be able to get down Sharon Center.
Yeah. No more calls of the dummies swinging from the bridge anymore for us?
Unfortunately, that poor bridge has to go away, but I'm depressed about it.
That's really sad.
I like the bridge.
Give it to Kent Park, like the rest of the bridges.
They tried. They didn't want it.
It's too big.
We've already got more in storage.
I thought I heard something about IWB is going to get done.
It's delayed now.
It's delayed a year, but it's out. It's still coming. It's just a matter of 16, I think, is when we start now.
16, and it's several phases.
Yeah.
And way more expensive than we wanted it to be.
Wow.
So the only road, well, eventually Oakcrest Hill will get closed. For the box.
That'll be later this fall.
Yeah.
We'll wait, hopefully, until the other project is complete to do that one so that they're not closed.
Where?
Just south of 520th Street.
Hills.
South of Hills.
Yeah. Oakcrest Hill Road.
If you know where Mr. Schott lives, it's right there.
Bridge comes to the other way.
So that list, Ed, is that something Steve Spendler, do you want for your meeting tonight? Just to give the management folks, can you forward over, just
I'll email the list of
email that to Steve.
I'm not sure exactly when it's going to start all of these, but I'm guessing May.
Kind of a mental note. I mean, I just got a note from Hills. They wanted some more information on it, so I got a hunch. Typically, I know you folks communicate with the emergency responders, firefighters. but probably be good just to have that, a heads up coming for some of those majors.
Yeah, we'll also put out a warp, making we'll put out a press release on all these when we know the roads are going to be, once we know for certain what the dates are, so we don't misinform people.
Okay. All right, Tom.
Working with Iowa City, they have a triannual review or an FDA audit coming up in June, give them the paratransit and ADA information. Working with Title VI, getting that all planned out and put up. I also have an Iowa DOT compliance inspection on May 8th.
Okay.
Wow, I'm going to cover the waivers.
Yeah.
Well, the IME doesn't know what they're planning really, but it sounds like they put out an RFI, which is an inquiry about a proposal that they're going to be doing possibly where the whole concept and waiver program would be taken underneath the transportation program in a way. The whole access to care, which was TMS prior, may be able to take over the whole thing, which would mean they could distribute waivers or transportation to whoever they please.
At
whatever rate they please. So that would hurt the seats.
So budgeting is a problem.
Yes.
I'm only going to hit a few high points, otherwise I would bore you to tears and we'll be here to make it. Right now we're working with Susan Ehring out of the county attorney's office trying to coordinate HIPAA protocol and compliance measures that the county currently needs through MHDS versus what the region will need because there's some different dynamics. And unfortunately, Susie's been very good at working at draft information for us to review, so we really appreciate her insight. And I understand that she will be attending the ISAC training. We also have a regional representative that will be attending that training, so we've kind of introduced the two of them together so that they can collaborate. The integrated health home concept, which was to be implemented in Johnson County April 1st, for which they hired away one of my key staff to be the director, is off to a very slow start. Magellan doesn't seem to have all his ducks lined up and forgot to contract with some of the medical, you know, physical medical providers here in the community. So even though they have some folks enrolled, they can't provide them services yet. So I think maybe we have maximum a dozen of our clients who have transitioned from tardy case management over to integrated health home. Between now and the end of June, we're supposed to have the majority of our chronically mentally ill folks who are debilitation services eligible transferred over. So we got a lot of work to do in that department. Our MIS system is transitioning to the CSN that is posted, housed, whatever, by ISAP. I'm not quite sure what their relationship is right now. They finally have the initial migration completed as of today. So now we have to start checking on a test site to see how accurate that information is. And the next thing I think they're going to work on is claims and funding authorizations. So there's a lot of work to be done. My biggest fear was yesterday they said that the migration had been delayed, they stalled out, and I panicked thinking, oops, are they trying to put Johnson and Lynn County on the same site? Is it? They said their database wasn't big enough, because Lynn County is also having to transition. So I don't know, there's a lot of work between now and the end of this fiscal year, but fortunately, IT hired a nice young man who is working with our department and understands DevGuard, which I appreciate because I don't know half of what she says. But anyway, we're working on that. The region has submitted to the Department of Human Services a services management plan to be implemented July 1st and an annual service and budget plan, two major documents which were approved by the governing board. So now we're awaiting their stamp of approval. We're also targeting working on what's called a transition plan. It's a one-year plan to
do all the cleanup pieces that we haven't been able to get to. And there's a huge list of things that need to be accomplished in the first year once the REACH starts. And then we'll also have a 3 to 5 year plan of other services to be implemented and developed or expanded or whatever requirement needs to be. There will be a 2-day training for some of the staff for evidence-based practices. This is a new concept that will be promoted by DHS. We don't know what all the dynamics are yet because they haven't written the rules, but they're going to. Legislatively, we're still fighting to get equalization dollars attributed back to the region. Last year, the governor promised people that voted for the regionalization concept that he would provide property tax relief. So he's looking to whatever cost savings we garner from the Affordable Care Act going into place to be given back to the state to offset those dollars. But we have no mechanism whereby we can project how much our cost savings is, because Iowa Medicaid Enterprise is looking at any provider that provides a Medicaid service, whereas we are a cap system and we only have X number of providers in our system. So the numbers that DHS is coming up with are skewed, let's put it that way. And legislators are really frustrated because they're getting different pieces of information from the counties as opposed to the state and DHS. There's also an interesting piece of legislation that seems to have some wheels this year. Nobody ever quite knew what to do with a patient advocate position. So right now the legislation states that, and if it passes, they would become employees of the University of Iowa and they would be under the Department of Inspections and Appeals, which very unique situation. And it might fly, it might not. Otherwise they'll stay under our domain for another year. We'll see. And I mentioned that we already lost one key person to become the IHH director, and then we have also lost another person over to Johnson County Social Services. And I see Lynette's not here today, but she did catch me in the hall, and she said if we need to borrow this staff member back during our transition, she's more than happy to share her services. So that's about it in a nutshell. I could bore you to tears with the rest. I think I have Creeping Charlie in my garden, and I'm not happy.
Is he dressed like John?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the Unabomber. He's Creeping Charlie.
Creeping Charlie the big guy.
All right, Gary, do you want to go next? Kind of right behind you.
Yeah, there's not a lot, but I don't have near as much. The assessment cycle ends April 1st, so we just finished the 2014 assessment. We have notices, we're in the appeal season. Then we'll focus on 2015. The odd years, 13 and 15, are revaluation years, big years. 14 is then. Even years are lighter years for us, but somebody came up with this property tax relief. So we had all these business tax credits we had to physically sign. So we didn't get our year off like we thought. But anyway, it's all done. We're moving on to the next. And this is a very good economy. There are a lot of sales. Thank you. Keep recording.
Yes.
All right, that's all. Okay. Jean.
Okay, a few things. As Chris talked about, we are working with them on the CSN conversion. The Tyler Real Estate software upgrade has been in place and it's going pretty well. There's a few things that still need to be worked out a little. Another thing is our GEM software, which most departments use, is over 10 years old, and the company that owns that owns some other software that has a lot of additional features. So in IT, we're going to start looking at that, and then if it looks good, then we'll open it up. And so I guess I wanted to just suggest that departments kind of think of things that maybe GEM doesn't do that would be helpful for their departments for it to have something that would do. We've had a fleet committee. It has a complete module that has more features than the GEMS, again, which is very old. There's some workflow, which could be help with the paperless. And then there's an also permitting and citizen access part to it. So we're going to be working more, again, as John said, with the paperless idea. And just a reminder, we have a lot of files out there. It's good if you save files electronically, but there's a lot of files that, you know, are way, way old that need to be cleaned up. We also met with Susie regarding HIPAA and going to the that training also, and we'll be kind of dealing with the security aspect of it, the computer aspect, and that kind of thing, those policies.
Great. Doug?
Just a couple quick things. Some good news. The Iowa Environmental Health Association selected Johnson County as their local Board of Health of the year. Kind of recognize them for their actually long history of being proactive in environmental issues that affect public health, so we're very proud of that. Also, Pete Wallace, who's our current board chair, received the Richard Grimmington Award from the Iowa Public Health Association to recognize an individual who's contributed kind of a career in public health. Pete was nominated and awarded that because he's been a good public health advocate long before he came on the Board of Health.
I'm the board's liaison to public health, so you're welcome. I can't get let Terrence.
I was going to say, wait a second. That's my line.
I mentioned the Blue Zones kickoff, which is coming up on the 17th from 5 to 7 in Sheraton. Also, Free Medical Clinic is having a fundraiser. They've been working real hard at looking for new sources of revenue to keep themselves going. That's going to be on May 9th. It's a Friday from 6 to 8 at College of Public Health. I put something on the employee intranet, an announcement about that. So I don't know how many. Every time I go in there's nothing there. So I've put two things on. So we'll see if anybody ever sees that. Bike to Work Week was mentioned. Those are kind of big things. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff.
Great. All right, Dana.
Finance, we recently. Well, I guess about a month ago, we wrapped up the FY15 budget, submitted to the state, and then met with most of the departments. I think there's a few stragglers we haven't met with, but to just get some feedback and distribute officially their departmental budgets for next fiscal year. At the end of March, we wrapped up our annual audit report and distributed that out to all departments and other governmental entities. We also recently finalized an RFP that we'll be sending out for our audit services as our contract is up on that. Just recently, we organized and coordinated putting together the spring amendment that the board will be considering here. The public hearing is scheduled for May 1st with a formal vote on the amendment scheduled for May 8th. Some other things we are continuing with the Masters of Accountancy students projects that are ongoing in various county offices. And those presentations are coming soon. I do not recall what the actual date is on the presentations. And this is kind of our down period from our major responsibilities. So we're kind of shifting our focus back to fleet management. We'll be kicking off and kickstarting risk management again, and some other initiatives of the county, including the paper reduction initiative, revolving energy fund, which maybe none of you are aware of at this point. We're looking at website enhancements, increasing transparency of the county as far as our information, and then also this is the time of year where myself and my staff are getting our continuing education accomplished.
Our department is, as usual, the springs where we start getting busier and busier. So we had a late start this year because the frost is in the ground so much. But we are fortunate in that we hired a young man that we're back up to full strength. That could get certified within the first month as electrical. residential electrical inspector. So that worked out very, very good, because that was the weakest area for our certifications. So with that, the guys are moving busy and around in circles a little bit sometimes, but everything seems to be going quite well.
Great.
For now.
For now. All right, Mike.
We're down a couple people in our department, and that's been bad because we also have just been absolutely overloaded with people. The past weekend, we actually ran out of room at the end. We had no place to put people anymore. We were completely full. Autopsies were backed up to Thursday, and so it's just been pretty overwhelming. As Kim said, the electronic death registration system starting in Johnson County on April 21st will be very interesting. It's going to be a real challenge to get physicians to do this electronically. So I think the outreach and education for the physician piece has not gone well. So in the short term, I think a marginally functioning system is even going to be more marginally functioning until we get all those people on board. It'll work good for us. We do lots of death certificates, so it'll work well for us and speed everything up. And also, cremation permits are going to be electronic now, and that'll be very nice for us. That'll speed things up, and same with burial transit permits. So there are some positive things going on, but counterbalance of that positive, there could be a real problem with a natural death getting physicians to certify.
Anytime there are doctors in the mix.
Definitely. All right, thanks. Let's go back to Travis.
Well, I just want to thank only two of you for showing up and throwing water balloons at Engine House and Andrew, so I appreciate that. We did raise $105 for a good cause. On the business side, we're working with IT right now, hopefully purchasing a vehicle that our departments can share. We're kind of doing some shuffling. Our staff is working with them, which would be nice. That way, instead of two of us buying a vehicle, we just have one, and I think we can make this happen. In terms of election, we're already getting swamped. We've got the June primary coming up. We're still waiting. I talked to Brad Kunkel last night, Solon City Council member. It sounds like they're looking towards an election there. Obviously, we have the gubernatorial election, and then, of course, our lovely Board of Supervisors now wants to vote on the courthouse. I mean, I'm shocked to hear that. So that'll be on the ballot. And then we talked with somebody on the Iowa City Council. I mean, you can guess who that was in my office, and they're looking at their sales tax, the sales tax option now. So that's one of the things we're going to have to sit down with the board. I don't know if you guys are going to want to do all of that on the gubernatorial ballot. If, you know, there's a possibility we're looking at sales tax, jail annex, and the governor's race. So it could spread us out a little more when it comes to elections, but that's something we need to let the public and the board know. Otherwise, we're just busy. We're happy we got a bill passed this year where we can hopefully start shredding all kinds of voter registrations real soon, long as they're scanned. Somebody asked me if we wanted to give them over to the Historical Society. My thoughts were the only one that I've seen that's historical is Lonnie's. So
I think you should frame Lonnie's.
Oh, my bad.
Well, 1988, I'll never forget that pulling it out of the box, the first one I looked at. So
find mine in 90, will you, and keep it?
I don't want to dig through that much stuff. But
couldn't you, like, draw out my ticket for winning $1 million or something instead?
Hey, Travis, we talk about your innovation in early voting?
It just hit the paper today, the press citizen, and we're going to start up mobile voting, which that's actually a good way, too, and I'll expand on that in the other part in a second. We're working with Rural Health. Hy-Vee doesn't want us in their stores anymore because they've just become so crowded. And some of the things that happened in the last presidential election, they just think it's better we're not inside the stores. But they have opened up our parking lot to bring a trailer in and allow us to use all the space we want for mobile voting. Well, we're working with Andy at Rural Health, and we're going to try it for the first time May 18th. And it means all the handicapped accessibilities. I even had Joel Miller call me today. He was complaining about a few other things, but then turned it into, hey, how did you get this mobile voting site going, and how did you get such a nice trailer? And I think he's a little jealous that we're spending that kind of money. And I also, and I don't want to say which auditor, because we're still in negotiations with buying some election equipment, but he just bought some of the same, one of the machines we're looking at, and he spent $120,000, and we have a quote for the exact same machine right now, $90,000. And Dana was in the office when Kingsley and I were talking about it, and we still think we're paying too much. So, I mean, the fact that this auditor thought he got a good deal, and I'm sitting here with Dana and Kingsley going, no, we didn't, if we're paying $90,000. So we're still working through some of those little quirks right now with one of our vendors, but Dana knows, I mean, he's been in quite a few times talking finances with me. We're trying to save every single penny we can, and so that's why we're working with ITM, buying a vehicle, and hopefully taking your minivan from you and using it for what we want. So.
You don't want it to go very far.
As long as it gets around town, we're happy with it. So. And that's all we have.
Can MHDS sell him a car? We have one with 164,000 plus miles.
We have vans with 200 plus thousand miles, so that's an upgrade.
I've had to push Rick's. I've had to push Rick's, so nobody else has put me to work actually pushing the bumper.
All right, Dave Wilson back there.
Yeah, we've kind of finishing up our planning, training, exercise piece. Yesterday we got our first multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan approved by the region. So Johnson County now has that in place. We can start applying for new mitigation grants. Brought in a lot of school districts and some other groups that had not been part of the mitigation system before, including many of the small towns. Had a severe storm spotter training in Coralville. At the library here recently, trained over 100 new spotters. And that came in handy because that Sunday we had kind of an unannounced tornado in EF 00, if we can call it that. Really low intensity, but apparently it was a slow news day and made national news as well as the networks and the Weather Channel. However, oddly enough, the only storm damage we could find was from Saturday night's severe thunderstorm with the strong winds, where it took out two grain bins and a county road sign. Sorry, Ed. And so that was all actually from Saturday night's event. We didn't even find a power line down. Survey crew came over from Weather Service yesterday, and they were unable to come up with anything either.
Wait, on which storm? Because I have cable down from Saturday night.
Yeah, from Saturday night.
Okay.
We're talking about the tornado, though.
No.
From Sunday.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But Saturday was a problem.
Yeah, Saturday night was a rough event. Other things we're finishing up are the Boy Arnold exercise. We have that coming up here in a couple weeks at the fairground. We did a hostile action base drill last week up in Linn County. That was the first one. That's a new FEMA requirement on how you respond to somebody being foolish enough to try to force entry into the nuclear power plant. We had a wide area search program last week that was pretty well attended by about 33 folks. Finishing up a project on emergency water distribution, purification, and generators. Brought back the portable generator on Friday for Lone Tree for their fire station. And then kind of a Guinness Book of World Record one. Folks might recall one of the dive team call-outs this winter right before Christmas was for a body in Mississippi that jumped. It actually turned up down in Lee County at the roller dam, or actually at the power generation dam in Keokuk, Iowa. So, that's a new record. No wonder we can't find that yet. And
that's a new record from the church.
And then we're distance travel from Muscatine, Iowa, the bridge.
So you're saying they jumped that far?
It's quite a distance. Then we're finished up just some exercises with the prison. We're going to be involved with the prison move down to Fort Madison when they relocate all those prisoners from the old penitentiary and the new. So we took down the communication trailer and patched together a bunch of ancient radio systems.
So I went through the storm spotter training, so I guess according to Terrence, I'm qualified to replace Dave in an emergency.
That's right.
And Dave, that...
Junior badge.
I want a junior badge.
You can get them at the county fair, too.
Saturday night storm is an indication of why sirens need to sound... not just for tornadoes, because something happened on our side of town, like from over near Rod's house through my backyard, took down the evergreen and our power or cable, and then two houses behind us took the tree down and put it on top of the house. It doesn't look like anyone was injured in the house, but boy, they would have got a jolt. And, you know, it looks like some sort of straight line wind event just went straight through this small section of Iowa City, but it really wreaked havoc. And so I just want to urge people, as you hear people gripe, I can use a negative word about that, about the sirens sounding when it's not just a tornado. We've never lost anyone in a tornado in Johnson County in modern history, but we lost someone in a straight line wind. And that's why the sirens sound. And people need to take them just as seriously, and then they'll figure out later what's going on. But, you know, going to your safe area and then reassessing, it's just important. And Saturday night will show you that, you know, damage can happen. So the tornado didn't do anything, but Saturday night storms did.
And Lonnie's been real reliable. Him and Steve have about 70 photos of them wearing helmets in their safe areas.
The tornado warning came out, so I fashioned my bicycle helmet and sent text to photo of me saying I was going out.
He said, I'm ready.
I'm going out, I'm ready.
That could be our resilient, prepared poster.
Hey, you should compliment me that I watched your little show and I learned something from it.
All right, Penny.
Danny Baldich, Iowa City Assessor's Office. Gary already mentioned the appeal period starting. We'll have hearings starting with the Board of Review on May 1st. The next step in that property tax reform that he mentioned would be the multifamily, where we'll have to identify all the properties that have both commercial and residential uses. Split out the values on all of those, create a new class of property. So that'll keep us busy probably for the next year or so.
Okay. What's next, Steve?
We contributed significantly to Mike's No Room at the Inn last week, running 184 responses. Quite a busy week for us. I just wanted to let the board know, let everybody know, our annual EMS Awareness Safe Kids Fair is at Coral Ridge Mall, May 3rd, from 11 o'clock to 1400 or 2 p.m., you know.
Thanks.
Sure. fun family affair. Come learn about safety and meet some of your EMS responders in Johnson County. And Mutual Aid Association meeting at Johnson County Ambulance Service tonight. Not everybody's invited. We didn't order enough food.
All right, Laura.
We have three training events upcoming. First one is Wednesday, May 21st. It is anti-harassment training for supervisors and employees. We're having LaShelia Yates, and she presented before for secondary roads and was very effective. Recommend departments, conservation, VA, EMA, SEATS, ambulance, and sheriff would be good to go to LaShelia's training, and we'll send out emails accordingly. Also have Doug Duckett going to be presenting at Linn County, and we're going in with the City of Marion, Linn County, and Cedar Rapids to bring him. He's from Ohio. To this corridor area. He's providing supervisory training on Tuesday, June 10th. Again, there'll be an email out to all department heads on conducting investigations and discipline. And then in the afternoon, he will also present a harassment training. And you can sign up for those individually. And then finally, on Tuesday, August 26th, we're presenting colors training with Terry Whitson, and this is going to be from 8:30 to 12:30. Originally requested by Lynette in Social Services, but we'll have a few more additional slots, approximately 20, for anyone else who would be interested.
Laura, what's the date on that again?
August 26th.
Okay.
And that doesn't include the assessment. So you have your personality assessed as well. Besides the training, everyone is talking about being up to full staff. Recruiting has been steady. NeoGov has been going overall quite well. There's been a full moon. We have a few grievances. And, of course, the merit budget amendment.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Andy?
Just a couple things. As the several people have mentioned legislative items. So the Urban County Coalition, I work with Lynn and Blackhawk and Scott County. We're focused on trying to get money to or keep them from taking away too much money on the MHDS clawback. Seeing if the fuel tax goes anywhere, it's not predicted that it will, but they keep talking about it. And then trail funding, which was in the Senate budget and then taken out from the House. We have also requested an interim study committee on unfunded mandates, and so if that's approved after the session's over, we'll probably be getting more information. I know we've asked for it before. We've gotten information about unfunded mandates, but we'll probably be working on that and hopefully having a representative from our area on that committee. So, what I have.
All right. Anna? NAMI Walk, don't forget. NAMI Walk, sign that up. Rod?
Yeah, I had an interesting opportunity early this month. My wife and I went and spent 10 days in Haiti. And it was quite an eye-opener, and I think one of the most interesting things is, you know, it's one of the poorest countries in the world. And one of the things that they're missing more than anything else is local government. And it's really interesting when you look at all the different problems that they have, and it's the kind of things that you guys deal with every day. And I kept looking through the lens, I guess it's hard to shut it off, but through the lens of, well, gosh, what if they just had, you know, a secondary roads department, or what if they just had, you know, actual assessments, and what if they actually had addresses, and all the things that we just really take for granted. And I know sometimes you guys all, you know, get a little beat up as government employees. You know, some people like to rail against government, but when you've been someplace where there isn't one, you come to appreciate it a lot more. So, you know, hang in there. I'm glad you're all here doing what you're doing. Thanks for all your work.
Thanks. Janelle?
One thing about for Gary Boseniler at Veterans Affairs, I'm the board's liaison to Gary. Muscatine Veterans Affairs Director was suspended and then let go. I don't know all the details, but that's created a vacuum, and so Gary's been attempting to fill in and help. The bad thing is they announced that Gary would be helping to the public but didn't actually talk to him, their board of supervisors. So you will see Gary roaming around with Muscatine people trying to get assistance for them. So I think he's going to actually try to figure out a way if we can bill them back for time through a 2080. That's how not to do government business. And you know, counties are normally willing to help each other, but normally you ask before you release that to the media. So expect some updates, particularly to the board from Gary. And today the 1105 Project announced that they had met their challenge, and I think the celebration is going on right now. Johnson County started this, I just remind you, and that it wasn't without controversy. We did get criticized for giving away a building for a dollar. We all got some hate calls and mail about that. But I think it's one of the neatest projects we've ever done, and the collaboration and innovation that's going on there is just now starting to expand. And we're seeing, you know, it's just a good role model of how you collaborate. I think that Crisis Center is going to be doing some intake calls for DVIP, and that because they're already operating as 24-hour call centers. So, anyway, they over 900 donors to that project, and so completion today. That doesn't mean it's over, but they have met their goals.
And they're working on a ribbon cutting date, and that should be announced pretty soon too. John, anything? Pat?
That's the
other side. The others talked a little bit about the strategic plan, and I'm working with the, the finance department, you know, with Jean and her staff and some of them on the fleet management software. And as Jean mentioned, it's Jim's as well, and if there's some way we can combine and get a unit that works together and gives us a better service, we certainly would do that. We get a lot of feedback about the problems that they are having with Jim's and some of that, but that's for further discussion. The board will be discussing that with the subcommittee and having some discussion. And you heard some of the reasoning behind that with the vehicles spending miles on. We need to get a better handle on our fleet management, the miles put on them, the service, regular servicing and pricing and so forth. With the new facility being built out at Secondary Roads, we plan on including the mechanic in that facility so they have better working conditions and they have all the equipment they need to work on vehicles. So hopefully we'll get regular oil changes and services done. And there will be a plan that needs to be put together for entering all of our inventory and things like that, the vehicles and equipment that we have, you know, beyond just vehicles. So that's something that's we're going to be working on, and hopefully that'll be coming into fruition here in the next year or two. So we'll be working on that. Just a little trivia, just for your information, I want to take note, in August there's five Saturdays and five Sundays. You see that about every 827 years. So you may want to see that, Tommy.
Really? All right. I don't have anything else. Thanks for all you do. Is there any other business for the good of the meeting? Discussion from the public? Anything good, Mike? All right.
I just
hold on.
Just introduce myself. I'm Mike Carberry. I'm a candidate for Board of Supervisors, and I joined up for this meeting. So I'll really get an update on what you all do. It's obvious that you all work hard, and the people that work for you work hard, whether they get overtime or not.
Right. Thanks, Mike. Meeting's adjourned.
Are we staying here, Steve?